This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on September 14, 2006. Should you have questions after listening to this recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
The Federal Election Commission open meeting for Thursday, September 14th, 2006 will come to order. Our first item of business this morning, correction and approval of the minutes. Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to move for the consideration and approval of the minutes for August 29th, 2006 as set forth in agenda document 06-58.
Vice Chairman is so moved. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion carries by a vote of all six commissioners present. Our second item of business this morning, draft advisory opinion 2006-22, submitted by Wallace for Congress. And we have Mr. John Levin from the Council's office. Mr. Levin, good morning. We have one late submitted document. Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to move for the suspension of the rules for the timely submission of documents to consider agenda document 06-60-A.
Vice Chairman has moved. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries by a vote of 6-0. Good morning, Mr. Levin.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Commissioners. The Commission has received an advisory opinion request from counsel for Wallace for Congress, the principal campaign committee of David G. Wallace, for election to the U.S. House of Representatives. Counsel asks whether an incorporated law firm may prepare, without charge, an amicus curiae brief on behalf of the Wallace Committee in connection with a court case pertaining to the nominee selection process in Mr. Wallace's congressional district. The draft answers in the negative, concluding that such free services would constitute a prohibited contribution to the Wallace Committee. After Congressman Tom DeLay, who represented Mr. Wallace's congressional district, won the March 2006 primary, he resigned from the House and stated that he was no longer running for the House. When the Republican Party of Texas sought to declare Mr. DeLay ineligible for the November ballot and to replace him with another candidate via the District Executive Committee process, the Texas Democratic Party successfully challenged the declaration of ineligibility in federal court. Mr. Wallace wanted a new selection process to proceed because he was a contender for the nomination in any such process. The Wallace Committee hired the firm of Jenkins and Gilchrist to file an amicus brief on its behalf supporting the Texas Republican Party's position in the Court of Appeals. The Wallace Committee and the law firm entered into a legal representation agreement specifying that if the commission determined in an advisory opinion that free services could not be provided to the Wallace Committee would pay a normal fee for the firm's services. In either case, the firm's personnel would be compensated as usual by the firm for its services. The draft bases its conclusion on the definition of contribution in the Act and regulations that is directly applicable to the proposed activity. The Act defines the term contribution to include the payment by any person of compensation for the personal services of another person, which are rendered to a political committee without charge for any purpose. Commission regulations also include a provision stating essentially the same thing, with some exceptions that do not apply here. Hence, the firm's provision of free services to the Wallace Committee would be an impermissible corporate contribution unless the committee pays the usual and normal charge for the services in a timely manner. And the Office of General Counsel has provided a late submitted document to correct and add citations on pages 6 and 7. I will answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Levin. Discussion? Commissioner Mason.
Thank you. Mr. Levin and I had a talk this morning, and I'm going to surprise him now, so I say that with apologies in advance. And my question is really about the nature of the suit, because we had some analysis early on about this issue of condition precedent and so on like that, which it appears to me is not applicable here, not because of the nature of the legal claim, but because of who are parties to the agreement. And that is to say that the authorized committee is a party to the agreement, and the question I want to get to is, if it weren't the authorized committee, but were somebody else, you know, whether that would make a difference. Because just on the issue of whether this is about allowing this candidate to get on the ballot or not, there doesn't seem to be a lot of difference between this request and the Illinois request from some time ago that we answered differently. Am I right about that? That's an important distinction here. Or?
It is. Assuming that the commission were assert that the legal controversy here is not materially different from those in the past Massachusetts or the Michigan AOs, the fact that it is service rendered on behalf of the political committee is significant. As a matter of fact, in one of the AOs on legal expense funds, 9639, the Heinz AO in Michigan, the commission made it very clear that there could be, that the candidate Heinz could set up a legal expense funds for these condition precedent type litigation, and says that funds would not be treated as contributions or expenditures provided they are raised and spent by an entity other than a political committee. And then the opinion goes to great length to provide criteria to ensure the separation of this legal expense fund from the political committee. In fact, to the extent of saying the committee itself may not establish the account or conduct the fundraising, but a separate entity may do so as long as the precautions listed above are followed.
Okay, and so to hone in the point, because that was something we discussed, the decision here doesn't really rest on our characterization as to whether this litigation was or was not a condition precedent to Mr. Wallace's ballot access. We're simply not deciding that here because the way it comes before us is something that the authorized committee is doing.
We are not deciding it. As a matter of fact, the draft itself says the commission need not and does not address whether the legal services described by the requester are for the purpose of influencing the election of any person to federal office.
Thank you.
Additional discussion on the drafts? Or draft and the amendment to the draft? Are we prepared to entertain a motion? Commissioner Mason or the Vice Chairman, whoever is prepared to offer a motion.
I move approval of draft advisory opinion 2006-22 with the amendments set forth in agenda document 0660A.
Commissioner Mason's moved approval of draft advisory opinion 2006-22 as set out in agenda document number 0660 as amended in agenda document number 0660A. Discussion of Commissioner Mason's motion. Hearing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries by a vote of all six commissioners present. Thank you, Mr. Levin.
Thank you.
Our third item of business this morning is draft final rules, explanation and justification, implementing the increase in the amount in the contribution limit for authorized committees contributing to other authorized committees that is set out in agenda document 0659, and we have Dwayne Pugh and Albert Kiss from the council's office on this matter. Mr. Kiss, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. The Federal Election Campaign Act and Commission regulations limit contributions from one federal candidate's authorized committee to another federal candidate's authorized committee. Until late 2004, this contribution limit was $1,000 per election. The Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2005 raised the contribution limit for campaign-to-campaign contributions to $2,000. The draft before you implements this change in commission regulations by modifying the definitions of support. This contribution limit for campaign-to-campaign contributions is not indexed for inflation. The draft before you is a final rule because the commission is not obligated to perform notice and comment rulemaking to implement this statutory change. We're available to respond to any questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Kiss. Discussion? I really view this as a technical updating of our regulations to conform to the statute, and as Mr. Kiss outlined, really with no substantive aspects beyond that, and it's important to have our regulations aligned with the statute, and I see it as a technical revision in that respect. I think Mr. Kiss makes a good point that there's an anomaly here in that this limit is not indexed for inflation, so while the individual contribution limits, which are indexed for inflation, will continue to increase in the out years, this limit will not. So it's another aspect of the election laws to keep everybody on their toes, but I support the document before us, and I think it gets our regulations congruent with the statute. Discussion of the draft? Prepared to offer or entertain a motion? Mr. Vice Chairman.
My turn. I'd like to move the adoption of the draft final rules and explanation and justification implementing the increase in the amount limit for authorized committees contributing to authorized committees of other candidates as presented in Agenda Document 06-59.
Vice Chairman's moved approval of Agenda Document Number 0659. Discussion of the Vice Chairman's motion. Commissioner Bonsikoff.
I just want to say, Mr. Chairman, I think this is the easiest new regulation we've adopted in the 9 months I've been here. I wish all of them would go like this.
It's all downhill from here, right? Further discussion of the Vice Chairman's motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries by a vote of 6-0, and the regulations are adopted. Madam Staff Director, administrative and management matters to bring to our attention?
No, there are, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. With that, this meeting is adjourned.